97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL and UNC School of Media and Journalism present Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examination of issues of overriding importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the Carolina campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the Summer Olympics. Our guest, Rachel Axon, Olympics reporter for USA Today. So Rachel, in a somewhat unusual move, the IOC is going to award two games, 2024 to Paris and 2028 to Los Angeles. I say somewhat unusual because, as you reported, it's not the first time this has happened, that two get awarded at the same time.
Yeah, that's correct. It's not completely unprecedented. Bill Mallon, who is an Olympic historian, points back to, I believe it was 1921, the IOC awarded Los Angeles and Paris, I think at the same time, I'm forgetting the logistics here, but awarded a couple at the same time to try to give Paris to, because it's the home place of Pierre de Coubertin, who's the founder of the modern Olympic movement. So not unprecedented, but certainly very unusual. Typically, these are awarded 7 years out under the, tentative. We should, put a caveat on all of this. It still has to be finalized. There are still things to be worked out, but certainly no reason to think that they won't be. To do it 11 years out is very unusual, but at this point, I think many people would argue necessary for the IOC at this juncture.
All right, so what makes it necessary to go 11 years out for the LA Olympics?
So the IOC voted, it would have been in early, mid-July, to take this unusual step to try to reach an agreement with these two cities. And, Thomas Bach, the IOC president, sold this at the time as a win-win-win. He wanted something that would work for each of the bid cities as well as the IOC. Part of that is they're two good bids. They rely very heavily, Los Angeles exclusively, on, existing venues. They're not building anything new. Paris has a few things to build, including a few big ticket things, but mostly has everything that it needs to host. So just the quality of the bids is better than we've seen in some other places. But I think the bigger thing that's driving this now is the situation the IOC finds itself in, where a lot of cities are walking away from bidding. As I've written several times, there have been more cities that have stayed in until the vote or in the end of the bidding process, or fewer cities, excuse me, only four have stayed in until the vote in the past two cycles, so for 22 and 24, has left. There have been eight that have, dropped out at some point, who have entered the bidding. That includes Boston in 2024, which was initially the USOC's pick for their bid city for that process, and they dropped out. Rome, Budapest, there might have been one other that I'm forgetting.
Almaty, Kazakhstan, I think. Yeah.
Well, Almaty was one of the final two for 2022, which lost out to Beijing narrowly in a vote, but several other cities. I mean, the big thing with 2022 was when Oslo dropped out. It was just a big wake-up call. So you have a lot of cities who are looking at this, looking at things like Rio, like Sochi, and saying that's not really something we want to do. Or you're seeing some of these cities go to a referendum and losing, not having the support of the citizens in those cities. So there's an opportunity here with two good bids, but it's also sort of a necessity in that to secure the Summer Olympics for more than a decade is definitely a benefit to the IOC at this point.
Yeah, that's something that you wrote, was the importance of securing it. And I want to quote from a New York Times article, which falls along those same lines, quoting, "It would also help the Olympics Committee resolve its difficulty in finding host cities for the Games, which have become financial headaches for many places, i.e. Boston."
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this has been studied, and I think this is a big difference. There's a lot of academic research into the cost benefit here and what these provide. And the Olympics are, you know, keen on touting legacy and all the good that it will do for a city. But I think this notion of that cities might have had of, our peers are doing this, we need to do this to put ourselves on the map. I think that they're losing that, and they're seeing things like, I think there's an Oxford study that found that these run over cost, pretty much you can bet on it, with stunning regularity, and it's not often by a little. I think it's 156% is the average that they go over cost. That doesn't count the sort of human legacy things. You know, China's Summer Olympics in 2008 in Beijing were some of the more expensive, but also displaced, I think, close to 1 million people. Rio, you know, not nearly as many people, but displaced people, was promised this big legacy of cleaning up Guanabara Bay, you know, these venues, transforming the city, that type of stuff. And obviously, we've fallen quite short of that. So I think cities are looking at this and going, that's not something we want to sign up for anymore.
You mentioned Beijing and Rio, and you know, you see the photos from those venues even 6 months later, and everything is in disrepair. Mm-hmm. It's stunning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that's what the IOC is, certainly the IOC will debate some of these legacy type questions, but those ones are different, and those are not unusual. If you you just type into Google, you know, the Athens venues, I think some of them are currently being used to house refugees. I think maybe baseball and softball. And that's, you know, 13 years ago now. So I think that what the IOC would point to here and what is unique about the current bid cities with Los Angeles and Paris is they don't have to do that. They have, you know, for the most part, everything they need to host them now. Paris needs to build a swimming facility and an athlete village. So it's not going to be a big empty stadium if it falls short. But I think that's something that the IOC has been shifting toward is, accommodating other models where you don't have to build a velodrome or these big facilities that don't have a lot of purposes after the game. Shifting to I just wrote recently about the Winter Olympics. This is something that they're considering, and they tweaked their bidding process a little bit for 2026. But you have Sion, for instance, in Switzerland is bidding, and their plan is spread out. You know, everything's within about an hour train ride, save for bobsled, which will be in St. Moritz, because that's where the venues are. So I think that we'll see how well these plans stick to these sort of changes, and if IOC members, you know, select ones like that. But I think certainly with the summer bidding, not having to build is an asset for them as opposed to some of the venue issues they've had previously.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking with Rachel Axon, the Olympics reporter for USA Today. Rachel, I wonder if you can put on your look into your crystal ball just for a little bit. Do you see the Olympics, especially the Summer Olympics, going sort of the way of the Super Bowl, that you have a rotation of, you know, half dozen cities that don't have to build new facilities, each time, and then they don't have any use for them afterward? Do you see it going that way?
I know that's a popular opinion. I don't know how much the IOC is actually considering it, but you would think that they should or they might. So a few years ago, they passed something called Olympic Agenda 2020, and it's supposed to be these series of reform initiatives that make it more affordable to bid for and host the games. And it values sustainability. It says it's supposed to look favorably upon bids that rely on existing or temporary venues, bids that would come from perhaps not just one country, but multiple countries next to each other. So I think that if you don't see this, you know, sort of idea of having, you know, let's say five, for instance, cities who they just move it around between, because that does come with issues. I mean, there's maintenance costs. And if you're, it depends on how much you're using those facilities in the intervening years and what the upkeep is. But if that's not where they're going, you know, how much are they willing to be creative in terms of the other places where there are existing venues, and how far they are from each other? I think there's been this very sort of romantic notion of, you know, this one Central Olympic bubble, right? This place, and if you've been to the Olympics, they, you know, they do exist where you pretty much have everyone in one place. That you have that a little bit less in the Winter Olympics because by nature, often the mountain type sports are separate in a way from the rink type sports that you have in the Winter Olympics. So it's a little bit decentralized. With the Summer Olympics, I think maybe that's an alternative to just having, you know, five cities who can, you know, Los Angeles, London, wherever, Beijing, who could just rotate it, is to be willing to allow it to be a little bit more diffuse in terms of, you know, you don't have to have everything in one, you know, 5 mile area. And that might open the door for other places to consider hosting.
Well, that was one of the criticisms that I read about Rio, was that it was too spread out.
Well, I think the difference between Rio and what I'm talking about is it was spread out. There were four clusters and, you know, it was somewhat difficult to get between them, but much of what was in Rio had to be built. What I'm talking about is if you have, let's say you had like three European cities who were in close proximity to each other, and you didn't have, you know, swimming next to track, next to gymnastics, but, you know, there's already, Budapest, I think, they hosted the swimming championship, so you have that there. But another place nearby hosts track. It's that type of stuff. I'm talking about relying on existing infrastructure and allowing the games to be a little bit more spread out as opposed to where you have Rio, and it's all within one city. It's just a little difficult to get around.
So let's go back to Boston. There was an intense local opposition to the idea of hosting the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Is it because of the cost? Does it all boil down to that?
I mean, that's a large root of it. I spent time there when that bid was floundering, and I've spoken to, there was a local opposition group called No Boston Olympics, and one of their co-chairs, Chris Dempsey, has literally written a book about this with the economist Andrew Zimbalist. And they talk about the blank check and what is required of these cities when they sign the host city contract. And, you know, they are on the hook. There is a guarantee from the city that, you know, if this goes over the cost, it will be covered and you will still produce the games you promised to produce. And that's, they're not wrong. I mean, when you look at the research on this, like I said earlier, I think it was 156% over cost. I think people look at Olympics like Beijing and Sochi, which had high price tags, and those price tags did include a lot of infrastructure. I mean, Sochi basically built a whole resort just to host those games, and say, this is not worth the cost. We should be spending this on our schools, on our roads, on our, you know, just things that our city needs that are independent of this. So I think that's the most, you know, kind of compelling argument that people can get behind. You know, what will my tax dollars be going to? Is that the best use of our tax dollars? And those types of arguments have resonated, you know, elsewhere in Europe where you've seen these type of bids fail on a referendum. But certainly Boston was very much focused on that and sort of the, you know, what they called the blank check that the city would be writing to the IOC. And ultimately that was the death knell of it because, it, you know, the pressure got to the point where Marty Walsh, the mayor, said he could not sign that contract, and that effectively killed the bid.
Sports Focus, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus and our discussion about the Summer Olympics and the awarding of two host cities. Our guest is Rachel Axon, Olympics reporter for USA Today. So, Rachel, let's get back to the two. And their bids were seen as really good, because they use a lot of existing facilities. There are also two cities that had failed in their bids in the past 12 years. How important is it for them, for Paris and Los Angeles to have secured Los Angeles 11 years before the date, have secured the games?
Obviously, it's critically important for both. I think there's a couple different elements to this. Paris had previously had three failed bids in the past 20 or so years. Most devastatingly to them was the bid for 2012, which they kind of thought they had in the bag. And then, you know, as we know, the games were hosted in London and not in Paris. When they have pitched this, there's a lot of emotional pull. You know, Paris is a obviously world-class city and has not hosted the game since 1924. So if all gets approved in the current plan, that would be 100 years between the two. So there's that sort of emotional storyline, and they played to that with the IOC. I think for Los Angeles, there have been, you know, other bids that they have tried for. And I think the context for that would be to look at it from the U.S. perspective and how much the U.S. Olympic Committee has been trying to bring the Summer Olympics back to the United States. 1996 in Atlanta was the last time that the U.S. hosted the Summer Games. And they bid for New York in 2012 and Chicago in 2016, which lost. Chicago was actually last among the cities that made it to the final vote, despite some campaigning by President Barack Obama. So the significance is more, I guess, national than local. Certainly Los Angeles wants the Olympics. Its citizens have supported it, and the polling has supported it to this point. But I would say more broadly, it's been a U.S. effort to bring the Summer Olympics back, and this will be the first time since Atlanta.
So talking about Paris, you know, they mentioned beach volleyball at the foot of the Eiffel Tower. I mean, there's a certain mystique about that, and the Rose Bowl, and, you know, the existing facilities that people know about and recognize, and having the games in those facilities and near those iconic places.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's the IOC has an evaluation commission who was tasked with going through the bids, and they visit each city, and they did this in May, and then their report came out before this IOC meeting, and they called both of them, you know, outstanding. Paris is a little bit more compact of a plan, just geographically the way it is, but it will put these sporting events, you know, right next to these, world landmarks that people will recognize. Provided they get it cleaned up, there will be events in the Seine, you know, right through the river in the middle of Paris. And so that certainly left an impression. Los Angeles, I think, made a mark, not just using existing facilities, but the Coliseum was used in Los Angeles's 1932 and 1984 Olympics as an iconic venue. USC, which owns it, is spending $270 million to renovate it. And so that's going to be even better when they host the games 11 years from now. So, each of those. And the IOC loves that stuff where you can already see an Olympic legacy or you can build one. And I think both cities offer that opportunity for them for their respective games.
So I want to loop back around to the idea of securing the games. You know, the thought of there not being an Olympics is, you know, somewhat frightening for people who are really Olympics fans. Do you see the IOC, and we have about a minute left, do you see the IOC having to go in this direction with cities that don't have to build a lot of stuff?
Absolutely. I think they have to do something different than what they've done, because the exploding costs it's not sustainable. No one's going to step forward if they keep down the path that they're on. So this may be the start of, I don't think they're going to do this again in the near future where they award two at a time, but where they have quality bids like this that encourage the use of venues, don't encourage exorbitant construction costs. I think that they're going to reward those and they need to if they want to stay relevant.
All right, 15 seconds left. Which one are you looking forward to more, Paris or Los Angeles?
Oh, that's a trick. I like both cities. I'll just say Paris just because if this works out the way they planned it sooner.
All right, that sounds great. And that does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Rachel Axon. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And as always, thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall at the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a service of UNC School of Media and Journalism.